Hello, and welcome to the Reach or Miss Show, the podcast for the customer-focused entrepreneur, where Hayut Yogev speaks with entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs about reaching or missing the critical point of approaching the right customer with the right message at the right time and place, the point where business success starts. And here is your host, Hayut Yogev.
Reach or Miss, episode 26. Mike Alton is a content marketing practitioner, award-winning blogger and author in St. Louis, and the chief marketing officer at SiteSell. He has been working with websites and the internet since the early 90s and is active on all the major social networks. Mike teaches a holistic approach to content marketing that leverages blog content, social media, and SEO to drive traffic, generate leads, and convert those leads into sales. Mike Alton, I'm so happy to have you here at this show.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. I just shared with our listeners what you have done until now. And I would like to ask you to share with us, what are you doing and most passionate about today, and where are you heading?
Well, one of the things that I'm really excited about is work that I'm doing. It's very focused on content marketing in general. Over the past few years, I've talked about blogging, I've talked about social media, I've talked about general business topics, and mostly just through blog content. So it's been a little unfocused, and through time, through exposure with customers and readers, you know, showing me what they liked and what they didn't like, I came to realize that it's this umbrella tactic of content marketing that includes blogging, social media, and email, and how that all works together, how a business, large or small, individual blogger, whatever the case might be, how they could use that to grow an audience, to establish themselves, establish their authority, and actually achieve some, you know, real business results.
Where are you heading? What are you planning ahead?
What I'm working on is a combination probably of a book and a course along with a private group, because I want to be able to help people in a more structured way. What I've done a lot of time up until now is like hourly consulting, right? So you'd call me, or I'd call you, I'd rather, and we'd talk for an hour about what you're working on, and I'd answer questions and teach you how to do something. And there wasn't any specific structure to it most of the time. We might talk once, we might talk once a week for 6 months, but every client, every set of calls was different, and we wouldn't always end up at the same places, and sometimes that's okay. But what I wanted to do was give my audience, my customers, an actual structured approach to bringing in the different tenets of content marketing into their marketing plan, and actually have a marketing plan, right? And
hopefully
use that to achieve some level of success that's really more standardized across the board.
It's something like a cookbook for how to do that?
Yeah, you could say that. Yeah.
Tell me a bit about your journey, about the company. When it became a company, did you start with social media with the purpose to build a company out of that?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I started the social media hat back in 2012. Okay, so 5 years ago. And at that time, I had been building websites. And as part of that website building business, a different business, I was blogging about social media marketing. I thought I would give my prospects and my customers helpful information for their new online business. That made sense to me in my brain. The problem was that blogging about Twitter and Facebook didn't sell websites. It didn't attract people who needed websites. It attracted people who already had websites and wanted to learn about Twitter and Facebook. So as a result, I wasn't growing my web development business, but I was discovering something about myself, which is that, number one, I liked to write, which I never thought that I would. And I also discovered that I liked to teach people how to use social media and blogging. So when I realized that that content wasn't helping to sell websites, I didn't want to stop doing it. So I thought, well, why don't I create a different site that's all about social media and blogging and see if I can't make that work. So that's what I did.
Wow. And how long has it been since?
Yeah, 5 years.
5 years. Wow. You managed to have a very, very big crowd around you.
Yeah. So it's been interesting because I've used my site as a testing ground for anything one can think of when it comes to online marketing. I often refer to myself as a content marketing practitioner because, and it's a title I made up, it doesn't mean anything. Except to me, it means that I test things. And I actually have documented experiments. I'll say, okay, you know what? I want to test whether or not Facebook reach is determined by the type of post that you create. So I would decide that that's what I want to test, and I'd come up with, okay, how am I going to test that? And I would execute the test, and then I'd write about it. And I found over time that my audience really, really appreciates those kinds of insights. And in the meantime, I was experimenting with how to make money from websites. You can read about that kind of thing. But until you actually try it yourself with the kind of content or tactics that you want to explore, it's all theoretical, right?
Yeah.
So, I tried affiliate relationships. I tried Google AdWords, display ads, and many other different kinds of monetization techniques, including selling my time, right? I do consulting, so I'm just selling my time by the hour and making money that way. So it's been a big exploration for me.
And what did you find? Do you have any conclusions about the best way to make a business out of social media empire?
Yeah, typically, and again, this will be different for everybody, but typically, the most successful way that you're going to find to make money is to have a product that you sell, a product that you can sell a lot of so it can scale. Of the other ways, usually selling your own time as an expert in the field, that can be fairly lucrative, but it doesn't scale unless you turn yourself into an agency and you hire employees, and then you have to keep growing and growing and growing accordingly. Affiliate marketing and then display advertising, I mean, those tend to be some of the worst approaches to making money online today.
I do agree. I have one question. What do you think regarding advertisement on Facebook? Because you didn't talk about that. You talked mainly about content. How do you see it going together? What do you see is more effective? How do you look at that?
It's funny because I used to not like Facebook advertising. I used to think it was a waste of money.
Okay.
And that was because I used to be stupid about it.
Really?
I didn't know what I was doing, and I was doing it wrong. So, of course, it was a waste of money. But as I learned and gained more experience in the tools and the overall techniques, I came to realize that Facebook advertising is extremely powerful. You just have to go about it the right way. And again, what that right way is, it's going to look a little bit different from one business to the next. But generally speaking, if you're able to create content that brings people to your website and then use Facebook ads to remarket to those website visitors and offer them something else that they might not have seen, that's hugely effective and inexpensive.
Who would you consider as your customers?
Well, I have a couple different customers.
I thought that would be the answer. Who?
Yeah. And again, this is yet one more area where I'm constantly testing and exploring and changing and pivoting. It's mostly small businesses. I mean, that's kind of a broad umbrella. But generally speaking, it's any small business owner that wants to learn about social media. That's what my content is designed to reach. Now, in terms of paying customers, there's a couple different kinds. Of my paying customers, there are affiliates, readers who read about the various tools and services that I might recommend and want to subscribe to those. A great example is AgoraPulse. I love AgoraPulse for social media marketing. They're one of the best tools out there. So when I'm writing about them, I'm writing to small to medium business owners and even bloggers or individuals who are looking for a tool to help them save time and manage their social media better, but still doing it themselves, clearly. You know, so they're signing up as, you know, through my affiliate link, and I'm earning a commission there.
Hmm.
The other bucket of customers is people who want to be taught. And that's a much smaller subset, for not many reasons, not the least of which is it's more expensive, right? You're going to pay me by the hour to teach you stuff that if you wanted to, you could probably read elsewhere online. The beauty of talking to somebody one-to-one like myself or any other social media consultant is that, number one, they're able to compress. I'm able to compress all that information quickly into a one-hour session.
Wow.
So you're going to learn tons more in 1 hour than you would if you were reading on your own. And I bring it all to you rather than making you search for answers in different places. Plus, I'm able, and most other social media consultants are the same way, they're able to customize what we're saying so that it applies to you specifically. I'm not giving you talking about doing live stream walkthroughs of a house that's for sale when you're an attorney, right? I'm going to be giving you very specific examples of how an attorney could use social media. So that's my other bucket of customers, the people who are willing to pay me to teach them.
And these are going to be the people that probably will, and I'm sure there will be a lot of them, will come to your online course when you will make it. Isn't so?
Yes, that's my hope, that the book and the corresponding materials, the course and group and so on, they'll be suited to handle actually both of those subsets. People who want to do it for themselves, people who want to be taught, they're both going to be able to benefit from those materials. And this goes back to what I was saying before, where your product, a product or multiple products, is your most effective monetization technique. Because if I create a book, I can sell as many copies as I want. If I create a course, I can sell as many subscriptions as I want.
Sure. This is the smart passive income Pat Flynn is talking about all the time.
Yes.
What is your best advice about approaching the customers? Can you tell us the concept or beliefs about the way a startup or entrepreneur or small business should approach its customers, and give our listeners your best advice for the customer's approach and focus?
Sure. So the best approach that I've found for startups and really any business is not just to listen to customers, but to create opportunities to invite your customers to say something worth listening to. So what I mean by that is some companies, they don't pay any attention at all to what their customers are saying, which of course is terrible. Other companies, they'll listen to customer feedback, but they'll do nothing to solicit it. That means that the feedback they get is irregular. You know, maybe somebody emails you, or maybe they message your Facebook page with a comment. And it's great to pay attention to those comments and think about how you can improve. But there's an even better step to take, and that's to be proactive about feedback. So instead of waiting for it to come to you, you actively ask for feedback. Now, most businesses, new customers have a set process and a life cycle that they go through, right? And as various points in that life cycle, you should be asking customers for feedback and ideas. These mile markers, they offer opportunities for you to offer motivation, support, encouragement. And when you execute that properly, it'll lead to not only more information about your business and areas that you can improve, but it will also increase your customer satisfaction and retention. I don't know if you know Joey Coleman. He outlines some very specific activities businesses need to take during the customer's first 100 days. So I recommend checking out his book as soon as it's released. It's not published yet, but it will be.
Okay.
I don't know, but later this year, maybe next year. But Joey Coleman, and he's just fantastic. He was the keynote speaker at Social Media Marketing World this past spring.
I'm curious because I think all of us, all of the companies I meet and work with, everyone wants customers to be more proactive,
right,
and to respond more and to talk to you. How exactly are you suggesting to do it better, to really make people talk to you more?
It's going to be different with every business. I know I say that a lot, but it's something that I like to stress because some of the things that I read, some of the advice that I read online, it reads like it's supposed to apply universally across the board, and it never does. I end up reading an article and then going back to my own business or whatever it is that I'm doing. And I'm like, well, this is different. I don't see how this is going to work for me. You know, I tried to install an overhead garage door opener the other day, and it was a wireless controller for it. And this wireless controller had two wires, and the diagram showed four knobs on your garage door opener, and you're supposed to connect it to the right two knobs. Well, then I look at my actual garage door opener, and there are only three knobs. So which ones am I supposed to connect the wires to? I don't know. And the documentation didn't say. It didn't allow for any room for error or other alternatives. So I find myself often telling people, this is how I do it. This is how I've seen it. Your situation is going to be different. And this is why, again, those one-on-one conversations can be so powerful, because I can listen to your unique story, your unique business, and say, okay, well, this is the way that you might do it that might actually work for you. So to answer your question, an easy example would be for a business that has new customers coming in and you're collecting their email addresses while they sign up for whatever it is that you do or you sell, and you identify some point in the future life of that customer when you think they're going to have at least tried some aspect of your product. You know, so let's say you have an online course that has six modules. After the first module, that's a milestone, right? They've achieved, they've done that. So that might be an opportunity to send them an email and say, you know, great, you've gotten through the first module. Good for you. You know, these are some of the takeaways that we hope you got from it. What did you think?
It's very interesting that you talk about it. And it's also interesting what you said about Coleman, because it's really that these first days or 100 days or 30 days, I don't know how long it takes. I guess you would say that it's different for any business.
Yep.
However, it is. We are more into something at the first days. That's right.
Yeah, and it's important to have that connection right away. Now, I mean, if you're just selling an item, like through Amazon or through your own website, and you're shipping it out to customers and that's it, you don't have any kind of insight then, usually, in terms of their long-term usage. So you just have to kind of arbitrarily decide, okay, you know, 5 days after the item should have arrived, then we're going to email them. But at some point, you need to be reaching out. And one of the interesting concepts that Joey shared was determining the point at which the customer will have achieved success. Now, in my, you know, six module course example, they won't have achieved success after the first module, of course. So that's a different kind of an opportunity. But at some point, they'll finish the course. At some point, they'll have used your service and achieved something. And if you can identify it, that's the best time to reach out, not only to, you know, congratulate them, but also to get a review, whether it's a private review and feedback or, you know, maybe it's a public review as well, particularly if you have the kind of product where you know your customers are excited about it and they're going to be willing to write about it publicly. So that's a really important tactic to integrate.
Yes, I know you've got, I think everybody knows, you've got a lot of successes. However, I want to start and ask you, what is your biggest, most critical failure with customers? The one that affects, that it can be from today or from the site building company, the one that affected your entrepreneurial journey the most.
Wow, you had to ask that one, huh?
Ah.
this is a painful story. So in 2007, I moved to St. Louis. I was living in Ohio at the time. And when I moved here, I started building websites. And that was when I started the web design business. So I started from scratch, mostly for local entrepreneurs. After a couple of years, the business had grown to the point where I needed help fulfilling these development orders. And I just happened to get an email one day from a development firm in Argentina that knew the platform I used, and they offered to take on projects at a reasonable rate. So we came to an agreement, and I started sending more and more projects their way. And it worked out great at first. But after a first year or so, something happened. Projects started to see delays. And then came the inevitable increases in hours and budgets. And very quickly, we moved from completing projects in a timely manner to not moving forward at all.
Wow.
2 months in a row, I sent wire payments of $10,000 each to Argentina and was seeing no completed projects in return. Mm-hmm. Now, for context, most of my projects back then were like $1,500, $2,000. You know, that was about the size of a website. You know, so I was paying for, you know, five or more sites per month, and I was getting none. And that became, unfortunately, it was an unrecoverable situation. I mean, once I realized that these developers were no longer working honestly with me or for me, I mean, like, you know, I cut off all access and communication and tried to save the business, but it was too late. Too many customer projects had been delayed. Too many customers were justifiably upset and demanding refunds, funds I didn't have since they'd been sent to Argentina. So I mean, the business failed completely. And I was forced to not only look for other work, but to spend even more time and money paying back those customers. And that took quite a bit of time. While I had planned to scale and grow my business, I hadn't planned sufficiently to monitor that growth and ensure success. So while I felt burned since then and kind of resisted growing my business to the point where I'd need more help, I realized that the real key is to make sure that I'm doing a better job managing.
I think it's a very interesting example. I do find, though, that it's not easy being a leader, a star, a teacher. It's not so easy to find those people that will do a great, great, great job. Most of the time, the customers will look for you. I think this is the challenge in building your company and hire more workers. I think this is the challenge, but it's not easy.
Right. Yeah.
Now it's time to ask you about the biggest, most significant success with customers. Sure. And
happy stories.
Sure, happy stories. And I'll be very happy to hear more than one if you have something good. But the story of your greatest success as a result of the right customer focus, or something that you did right about approaching your customers.
Well, I certainly have lots of fun, happy, successful stories. The one that stands out to me is an interesting one. A few years ago, I don't know if you remember Google Plus Hangouts. Not everybody does. But Google Plus Hangouts were huge for me. They were really, really huge for me. I created a big audience on Google Plus. I used Google Plus Hangouts every single week. And by Hangouts, I'm specifically talking about broadcasts that people would do on a regular basis, much like your podcast. These are just live video shows that people would do, and they'd bring on guests. And I was a frequent guest for a bunch of people's shows to talk about social media and blogging and news and tools and so on. And as a result of that, I got some exposure and got to meet a lady who was running a website called Craftstar. It was kind of like another version of Etsy, mostly for mompreneurs who do crafting and want to sell their products and skills. And as part of that site and service, she was doing this social media boot camp and was inviting people like me to come on and help them learn how to use social media. So this is the kind of thing that I would do for free. Wouldn't charge. It's like, I'm not charging you, right? I'm just coming on and having a conversation so I can meet people and talk about the things that I really like to talk about. So she brought me on one night, and I don't even remember what we talked about, what the specific topic was, but it was social media related. And I helped her. I helped her audience. Sometime later, she reached out to me because she needed professional help. She wanted to bring me on for another project that she was working on with a friend of hers. Turns out that this lady, before she started this site, Craftstar, she actually worked in Hollywood. Wow. She was a television producer in Hollywood and worked with people like Ryan Seacrest. Who, I don't know if you know Ryan, who Ryan is, but he's a famous host of TV shows, different things. And she was friends with a guy named Gary Goldstein, who is a big motion picture producer in Hollywood, did famous films like Under Siege, and probably his most famous film is Pretty Woman with Julia Roberts.
Oh, this is my cult movie.
Yeah, so she got me in touch with the producer of Pretty Woman, who had written a book called Conquering Hollywood. Conquering Hollywood is kind of a field manual for anyone who wants to work behind the camera, writers, cameramen, lighting guys, whatever the case might be, how they can take their technical skills and you know, break into Hollywood. And he wanted to turn it into an online course and a membership and all the things that I'm doing with my book. And so that ended up becoming a really fun project. Not only did I get to know Gary and consider him a friend, but I got to work with him and work for him for months, helping him, you know, grow this idea into a actual business.
Wow. And it was probably fascinating as well.
Mm-hmm. Extremely fascinating. And all because I had volunteered, you know, an hour of my time one Tuesday night, you know, to help this lady teach her class on social media.
I believe that it is always coming back. I've been lecturing for, I think, almost 9 or 8 years, at least once or twice a month, voluntarily, to startups, to entrepreneurs, and it is always come back.
That's
what I believe. And, Mike, this is a beautiful story. Actually, it's a colorful one. Can you recommend the best or some of the most effective technological or digital tools that relate to customer focus, marketing, or sales?
Oh, wow, sure. I love tools. I've got a list of 60-plus tools that I recommend on my site for various purposes. In fact, I already mentioned AgoraPulse. That's my favorite social media marketing tool. But I have to say there's one tool that for me, it's the tool that I use every single day. It's kind of the core to how I run my business, and that's Evernote. Evernote, you know, for those, you know, for you or your listeners who don't use it, it's a note-taking tool, right? It's cloud-based, which is important, and you create within Evernote notebooks that can be, you know, however you want to organize it, and within each notebook is an unlimited number of notes. So, like, I have a notebook for my business, and in that notebook, I keep email templates, I keep ideas for how I'm going to grow the business, things that I want to keep track of, you know, those kinds of things. I have a notebook for my blog. Every time I have an idea for a blog post, it goes into that blogging notebook. In fact, that's a big part of the process that I'm going to be teaching in that book, in the course, is how to make use of Evernote so that you have an unlimited supply of blog post ideas.
It's so great because I think Evernote was like, you know, people discovered it a few years ago, or yeah, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And now people are not talking about it anymore so much because they just use it, I guess. I'm so happy that you brought it up because I think it's really a wonderful tool.
Yeah, yeah. And that cloud-based fact that I mentioned before is so critical because that means that you're logging into Evernote and everything you do is stored on their servers and is instantly accessible on all of your devices. So a couple months ago, I have a MacBook Pro and it was about 5 years old and it died.
Oh.
And it's quite sad.
It is.
And, you know, there'll be services this weekend, right?
No, I thought we ended with the sad stories about failures. Okay.
I know. But the happy news is I didn't lose anything other than the laptop because everything I do is cloud-based.
That's right.
So I didn't lose. I can't tell you how many articles that I have that are in progress because I work on them when I feel like working on them, when I have an idea, when something's timely or whatever. And, you know, like I said, sometimes I'll have an idea for a note for a post and I'll put it in there. And if I have time and some other ideas, I might write those down. So I've got articles that are nearly done, articles that are half done, articles that have a few sentences, plus all these other ideas.
So you have quite an easy work for your book, isn't it? Everything is already ready.
Well, it's funny because that's actually one of the other core principles that I like to teach is to try to focus on writing the things that you already know. Most people struggle to write blog posts because they pick a topic that requires them to go research it. So they're not writing blog posts. They're writing college research papers. And nobody liked to write college research papers.
No.
You know, that wasn't fun for anyone. Whereas my blog posts, for the most part, I'm just sharing what I already know. I'm sharing what I've experienced. Now, sometimes that means that if I have an idea, I may have to come back to it later because I haven't created the experience to write about yet. But most of the time, I'm writing about what I know, so it just comes out of my brain, and it's just a matter of structuring it you know, making it entertaining and educational.
Do you have any recommendation of a service provider, like a mentor or consultant? It can also be a book that really impacted you and had a major impact of your customer success and can maybe help other entrepreneurs as well.
Yeah, and it's interesting. The number one recommendation isn't a specific service or a person, but it's the idea of joining a mastermind. So for your listeners, again, who might not know, what I mean by mastermind is that you would join a small group of people who are at approximately the same level of success as you. And you meet with them on a weekly or biweekly basis to talk through everything that you're doing and share each other's successes, share each other's failures, share each other's goals, and help each other to achieve those goals. So I've been part of a mastermind for a few months now, and it's been fantastic. And it's a small mastermind. There's only four of us. But we're all at about the same level. We're all social media marketers and bloggers, about the same level of success, about the same amount of years into this, right? So we're kind of in the same points in our journey. And so we're discovering a lot of the same things. We're going through a lot of the same problems. And it's really easy for us to help each other, lend support, bounce ideas off of each other. It's extremely helpful.
A mastermind, I do think it's very important for everyone. What is the one thing you are most fired up about today?
Well, it's definitely my book. I'm really excited about it. I'm really excited about some of the video that I'm going to be able to shoot alongside that. I've been teaching myself how to do better and better video production. So now in my office, I've got a little studio set up and I've got more equipment, the right lighting and everything that are all these little details that are so important that you don't necessarily think of until you get into the business of creating video. And I'm really excited for what I know my readers are going to be able to go into. I'm really excited to be able to share some of these techniques, some of these stories. I'm going to be sharing a lot of examples, case studies, not just from myself, but from other bloggers, other businesses, non-marketing businesses. And it's going to be a lot of fun.
I can't wait to buy it. When is it going to be published?
That I'm not sure.
Oh.
I've got one real book and a couple of smaller ebooks out already. I've got a book on Hootsuite that I wrote a few years ago. And those were just self-published books on Amazon. This time around, I'm not sure if that's the route that I'm going to go. I may be looking at a more traditional published route so that it'd be available in bookstores, you know, as a hard copy. And if I do that, it's going to add time to the published date.
Okay, I'll wait.
You know, if I was self-publishing, it would be out in December. Ah. If I'm going the traditional route, it's definitely going to be sometime next year because it just takes them longer. Yes. There's a longer process to go through.
It's interesting to test. You're testing everything, but you might find there are a lot of people that still buying and enjoying going to bookstores and buy the book.
Yeah, and it's funny because I didn't think too many people would want to buy a print copy of my book on Hootsuite. I honestly thought no one's going to buy that because it's going to cost more, for one. And, you know, for two, it's a digital product, Hootsuite. So it made sense to me that they would just want to read the Kindle book, you know, on the Kindle app as an ebook. So I didn't offer a print copy at first. It wasn't until this past year, 2 months ago, actually, I needed to make some revisions and updates to the book. And while I was at it, I decided to go ahead and offer it as a print version. The only reason I hadn't up until then was because if you're going to self-publish a print book on Amazon, you have to upload a cover for the book. Sure. And the print version cover is the front, spine, and back all as one graphic. So it's not a normal graphic.
Okay.
Right. It's a very strange graphic to create. And 2.5 years ago, whenever it was that I first released the book, I struggled to put that together. Now my graphic abilities have improved and it wasn't a big deal for me this year. So I did it.
That's great.
Well, surprisingly, shockingly, people are buying print copies of the book.
Definitely.
And I didn't even promote it. I didn't do any new marketing or anything like that. It's just out there. But now I'm selling print copies. So That's one of the things that changed in my brain. A gear moved, and I thought, wow, okay, so maybe the new book
should be.
Maybe I should not only have it in print, but put it in bookstores. So we'll see.
We'll see. And before we'll say goodbye, I want to ask you, what is the one factor that affected the most on your success? You know, there are so many things that coming together to help us and for our success, but there is one thing that really made the difference. What is your key success factor?
You're right. There are always a lot. One thing that comes to mind, I don't know if this is the most thing, but one thing that comes to mind is that a few years ago, I started to become very deliberate about who I was connecting with, who I was having conversations with, who I was looking up to, who I was reading. In short, the relationships that I was creating. Now, for me, it was mostly online through social media. These could just as easily be at business networking events and in a workplace and so on. You know, you guys can take this and change it however you need. But for me, it started with Google Plus at the time, and it's now moved more to Facebook, where I'm connecting with peers and colleagues, and I'm having conversations with them, not just about what's going on with Facebook or Instagram stories, right? But you know, what's going on with ourselves? It's kind of like the mastermind, only in a much broader sense.
Yeah, I wanted to say some kind of online mastermind.
Yeah, it's a little, it's like an informal mastermind. And the fate of Google Plus makes me sad because I do miss this about that platform. Never before have I had the kinds of conversations that I had when Google Plus was at its peak in terms of interest and so on. But even today, I still have those relationships, and now they're just, the conversation is a little more dispersed. Now it's more private messages or on this or that Facebook post or through Skype and phone calls and so on at conferences. The key to it all, though, is to having those specific, deliberate relationships with people who can help you, who can help your business, who can show you the right way to do what you need to do.
I love it so much because I've been working with entrepreneurs for the last 10 years, as I told you, and most of them just know everything. And you have achieved so much. And actually, you say that the way to succeed even more, perhaps, is to use help of other people that can contribute something else or something new to your business or to yourself. Beautiful. Just I want to ask you, for those listeners and people that want to contact you, what is the best way to contact you?
Well, I appreciate that. And I really appreciate, again, you having me on. I love having these kinds of conversations online and offline and recorded or private or whatever the case might be.
It's my pleasure.
But, you know, first and foremost, it's my blog, thesocialmediahat.com. You can learn everything there. That sounds grandiose, but you can learn everything about social media, content marketing, blogging, SEO, email. That's what it's there for. I welcome people who want to search for different topics, and I welcome people who want to comment and ask questions. I'm really proud of the community of readers that I've grown there over the years. I still have comments turned on. You go to a lot of blogs today, they've turned off their comments because it's just spam and there's nothing interesting happening there. But my readers, they ask smart questions on my blog posts, and that's no reflection of me. That's a reflection of them and what they bring to the table. And I love it because we're able to have great conversations in the comments, and a lot of those comments, they lead to ideas for me to improve that post or to write another one. So I really welcome people to come and read and engage with me there. But of course, I'm everywhere in terms of social media. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Google Plus, social networks you've never even heard of. I'm there checking things out. If you ever need to go there, I will tell you. Don't worry about it. I'm there.
And we are going to have all of these on the show notes that people can just follow you or read everything that you write. And Mike, I want to thank you so much. It was so interesting to talk with you. I really enjoyed that.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I'm just looking forward to hear what our listeners will say and ask after this conversation.
Great.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And for you, our listeners, until the next time, it all goes down to this. You either reach or miss. Keep reaching your goals and vision. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Reach or Miss Show, the podcast for the customer-focused entrepreneur. You can find all the information, links, and resources that was mentioned at the show in our website, reachormiss.com. See you next week.